Morning, everybody. Beautiful time that we have at this moment. Beautiful day. I'm really kind of empowered, feel really kind of charged this morning. I just want to share with you things that the Lord has laid on my heart. What I want to do first is I'm going to read the scripture for this morning, and it's taken from Joshua. I'm just going to share my screen. It's taken from Joshua 3. Okay, we're ready to start, right? And this is entitled, The Israelites Crossed the Jordan. Early that next morning, Joshua and all the Israelites left Acacia Grove and arrived at the banks of the River Jordan, where they camped before crossing. 3 days later, the Israelite officers went through the camp, giving these instructions to the people. When you see the Levitical priest carrying the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord your God, move out from your positions and follow them. Since you have never traveled this way before, they will guide you. Stay about half a mile behind them, keeping a clear distance between you and the ark. Make sure you don't come any closer. Then Joshua told the people, purify yourselves, for tomorrow the Lord will do great wonders among you. In the morning, Joshua said to the priest, lift up the Ark of the Covenant and lead the people across the river. And so they started out and went ahead of the people. The Lord told Joshua, today I will begin to make you a great leader in the eyes of the Israelites. They will know that I am with you just as I was with Moses. Give this command to the priests who carry the Ark of the Covenant. When you reach the banks of the Jordan River, take a few steps into the river and stop there. So Joshua told the Israelites, come and listen to what the Lord, your God, says. Today, you will know that the living God is among you. He will surely drive out the Canaanites, Hittites, Hivites, Perizzites, Girgashites, Ammonites, and the Jebusites ahead of you. Look. The Ark of the Covenant, which belongs to the Lord of the whole earth, will lead you across the Jordan River. The priests will carry the Ark of the Covenant, the Ark of the Lord, and the Lord of all the earth. As soon as their feet touch the water, the flow of water will be cut off upstream, and the river will stand up like a wall. So the people left their camp to cross the Jordan. And the priests who were carrying the Ark of the Covenant went ahead of them. It was the harvest season, and the Jordan was overflowing its banks. But as soon as the feet of the priests who were carrying the Ark touched the water at the river's edge, the water above that point began backing up a great distance away at a town called Adam, which is near Zarethan. And the water below that point flowed on to the Dead Sea until the riverbed was dry. Then all the people crossed over near the town of Jericho. Wow, what a powerful, powerful scripture we have there. And it's talking about moving forward and crossing the river and crossing Jordan. I'm going to tell you a story. A lady called Araminta Ross in the 1800s was enslaved in Maryland in America. And she managed to free herself from her captors and the people that were enslaving her. And she made it. She did a long, long journey, and she made it all the way to Pennsylvania, which was actually called a free state, where freed slaves could live free. And not be returned back necessarily to slavery. Now, along her journey, she went through a number of things. She was pursued, she was attacked, she had to hide, she had to go through bushes and woods and a whole long journey, which she did by foot, all on her own. A terrifying journey, a scary journey, without anything, without knowing what's ahead without knowing necessarily how many people are behind, but she made it all the way to Pennsylvania. So Araminta, we know as Harriet Tubman. And Harriet Tubman, what she did after that, she didn't just stay there. She went back to go and get more slaves and free them and take them back to the free states. And she made multiple journeys, back and forth, freeing slaves, as we know, as the Underground Railroad, which was a journey which she took. And she took these slaves. Now, what was really interesting was that some of these slaves that she was taking, some of them along the way, they got scared, they were terrified, they didn't like the journey, and they turned back. Even some of her own family, she had to even take back because they didn't believe or they couldn't go with the promise that was something better that was ahead of them. Some of the people that she tried to convince to come with her, they wouldn't leave their captivity. They wouldn't believe it. They were thinking, you know, no, it's better, it's safer here, even though I'm enslaved, it's better and it's safer here than me to try and risk it going that way. Some people believed her, packed up, and they went, and they made it all the way to Pennsylvania and the free states where they were living in freedom. And she was known as the Moses of that time. And it was interesting because she had this statement that she said she could have saved 1,000 more if only they knew that they were enslaved, if they knew that they were slaved. What a powerful statement. You know, she could have freed so many more people if they actually realized that they were slaves, they were in captivity. So we join this story here. Where the Moses, which is referred to in the Bible, he has passed away. And the Israelites and the people of God are now with Joshua, the new prophet, the new person that's in charge. And they've come out of captivity, which was Egypt. And what's happened is they have come to this place now where they're up against another river, the Jordan River. And they're thinking, well, how do we get to this other side? How do we go over these places? And they were remembering, they were thinking, you know, it's really interesting because they were thinking about themselves. They were probably comparing Joshua to Moses, saying, well, can Joshua do what Moses did? And when you think about that, they were thinking back about all the things that they could have been, or the person that was leading them previously, which has led them by miracles, by these amazing things that happened, you know, pushing, going through the Red Sea and freeing them, obviously, from Egypt and Egyptians getting washed away and also going up into the mountains and getting the Ten Commandments, all of these different things that have happened. And they've gone through and they've been fed by manna and all of these things. This amazing person, this Moses, who has passed away, and it's now Joshua. And they had to believe the fact that Joshua was still being led by this same God that has, that has carried Moses. They have to make a decision to think, are we going to follow Joshua on this journey? And it's interesting because when I was reading through and preparing for today, it just really kept occurring to me how many journeys that we are on, or that the people of God are on, or that the characters that are in the Bible are on, or us as individuals are on. Yeah, when you look at all of the people in the Bible, lots of them traveled from one place to another place. And then some of them went from another place to another place. They continued and continued and continued. They were kept moving. God wasn't keeping them in one place. He was translating them to somewhere else. And so he is doing that with us. And so he is doing that with us now and in our lives and things that we are going through, coming out of, or where we're going to. And these journeys that we take are really important. It's interesting, in corporate world, what they do when they have a big project, what they will do is they will start at the end. And when they're planning for that project, they will start at the end, the destination, and map all the way back. And they do it in little increments, probably called projects or sprints or what have you, where they go from one place to there, and then they go from this place to this next place and this place to the next place. But in the end, they end up at the destination that they want to do. And so it is how God is moving with us and sometimes with some of the characters that are in the Bible and in our lives. What he does is he takes us from one place to another, another to another, another to another, another to another. And his ultimate destination is to make sure that we end up in his presence when we pass on. And he's going to continue to take us from experience to experience to experience to experience, victory to victory to victory, all these different things, but he's going to take us in incremental stages. He doesn't want to leave us where we are. He wants to carry us. He wants to translate, and there's a journey. When I look, I was reading, looking at some of the characters in the Bible, and I was thinking, look at Paul. Paul had a journey. We were going through all of the books of Paul, and you look at all the places that he had to travel to give his message. We look at John. John traveled. That's where some of the different churches are planted as well. Look at Joseph. Look at Joseph's story. Think about where he had to travel from, where he went through, where he went to. Look at Daniel. Look at David. Look at Abraham. Abraham had to leave a place. God told him to leave somewhere and go. And that was the instructions, leave somewhere and go. And it was going out into the unknown, going out into the this place where you don't know what's ahead of you, but you just had to trust. And can you imagine trying to convince your family that I'm just going to pack up the house now and we're going to go? They're going to be asking you where. And you said, well, I'm just going where God is telling me to go. Where is that? I don't know, but we're leaving. And I think that it's an interesting place that we find ourselves here in this world and what we're doing at the moment, because we are in this place where people are coming out of a number of things. We've had a pandemic. We're coming out of lockdowns in different various areas of the world. And we're going into this new place, which we don't know. And it can be scary. It can be overwhelming. You don't know what's going to happen. You've looked at the past. You looked at the future. You're not quite sure. And it's understandable. It's human nature. But God is commanding us, and God is talking to us, and God is sharing with us that he wants to continue for us to move forward, to continue to keep going, to continue to go from step to step, from place to place. And it's interesting because the instructions that God gave the people of God, the Israelites at this time, were really important. And we can draw a lot from them, the instructions that he gave for this time that we're coming into now. We're here in London, and we're expecting to be coming out of lockdown in the next few days and months and what have you. But we don't know what's going to happen in the future. We don't know if there will be another lockdown or whatever, but we're coming out of this. And some people have been in a captivity, a type of captivity, where they've been either been just in their homes or just in a specific area. Some people have been locked down completely, and they haven't left their homes in a long time. Or some people could not leave their homes. Or some people have just been, in this place of captivity, not being able to get out, not being able to work the way they used to do, not being able to live the way that they used to live. And we're coming out a little bit, and we're not sure what's happening. But the Lord is saying to us that we're going to be moving forward. In the scripture, what the Lord told them to do was to let the priest take the tabernacle into the water, into the River Jordan. They carry the tabernacle. And the tabernacle is a description of the presence of God. And the priest went into the water, and as soon as they stepped into the water, their feet started to get wet. It was at the highest point of the Jordan banks, was at its highest point. It was actually over overflowing, but they still went out in faith and they carried what represented the Holy Spirit, the presence of God. The tabernacle was an amazing thing. And now we have the tabernacle within us because the Spirit is within us. Instead of being in a in this box that was created for the tabernacle, called the tabernacle, this intricate creation, we are now that intricate creation, and the Spirit lives within us. But what the Lord is saying to us is that we must be following His Spirit, following His leading, following and taking a step forward, take it in our pace, take it together, but follow the Spirit. And take the tabernacle that is within us. Take the tabernacle that is within us into this River Jordan, into this place where we're going now. And it's the Spirit that has to go first. Not us. It is the Spirit that has to go first. And then we have to follow where the Spirit is leading. And the Lord is taking us out of this place now and into a new place. He's consistently taking us. Out of one place into another place, out of one place into another place, continually. But we have to follow the flow of the Spirit. And when the priest stepped into the water, what happened was the water started to dry up. A long way away, it started to dry up. And beyond where you could even see, it was in another town. The water started to dry up. And sometimes when you're stepping out in faith, you might not be able to see everything happening, but I assure you that the water is drying up and you're going to cross on dry land. You're going to cross on dry land. It's interesting, the name of that town was called Adam, but we'll come back to that. We'll come back to that later. And so when the priests went into the water and then the water started to dry up, and then there was an opening that was created for the people of God. What happened was they were allowed to cross together. But before her, it was really interesting that Joshua was telling the people that the Lord had given them an instruction of what they had to do. They had to consecrate prior to getting into that that water. They had to consecrate. And it's interesting because consecrate means to be set apart, to be cleansed, to be clean, to be holy, all of these different terms that can be used to describe the word consecrate. And consecration starts with your mind, your body, your soul, your thoughts, everything. And ahead of going into these places where we're going now, the Lord is telling us for us to consecrate. And especially when I was preparing this message, what the Lord was telling me was about the fact that we need to consecrate our speech. And as much as our lifestyle and our bodies and everything else, but it kept impressing to me, consecrate our speech. And I was saying, Lord, what is this about? And the leading that I was getting was about how we need to consider where we're going and believe where we're going and know that we're going ahead. And trust Him, and we're going in, but our mouths need to continue to walk with us in that way as well. So the temptation that we have at the moment when we are coming out of places like lockdown, or we're coming out of different places, let's just list it like that. The temptation is that we consistently think that we're going to go back to those places. It's like going back to Egypt or going back to captivity, or it doesn't have to be bad. It's going back to this past victory or this past place. We say it sometimes when in this place where we're saying things like, oh, I can't wait until it gets back to how it used to be. But the Lord is saying, no, we're going into the future now. We're going into something new. We're not going back to how it was pre-pandemic. We're not going back to how it was pre whatever the experience you've had. We are going forward, and we need to be hankering and looking forward towards where we're going. It's interesting because the direction that we go and our eyes, where our eyes are looking and where we're concentrating on and where we're talking that we're going to, that dictates generally where your body is going. when you're driving, you have to be looking forward to be going forward. You can look in the back rear view mirror, but if you spent your entire day looking in the rear view mirror, you will not progress very far or safely. It will be dangerous for you just looking in the past, even though that where you come from might have been amazing, brilliant, fantastic. But we need to be focusing going forward. And our speech needs to be going that way as well. We need to be saying, I'm looking forward to where we're going new, where we're going next, not this hankering back to, I can't wait for the old system. I can't wait for us to go back to the old system, or I can't wait for it to go back to the way things were. We are moving. We are moving forward, and that's what's going to happen. We're not hankering. God is not trying to take you back, take you back, take you back. He's constantly taking you forward, taking you forward, taking you forward. And our speech needs to be consecrated in that manner. You know, going back to work is going to be different. Going back to church is going to be different. Going back to family is going to be different, but you're going forward. And there's an opportunity that presents itself for us to go into the future. And our speech needs to continue to go like that. So we need to catch ourselves as people of God and think, where is God taking us? Is he taking us back, or is he taking us forward? It's really, really important. I think that, and when I was thinking about this here, this period of time that we are in now and that they are in, and the similarities that we have, that we have got opportunity ahead of us. But sometimes there are obstacles. A lot of the times there are obstacles that we have to overcome to get to where we're going. It isn't necessarily just a straight path of ease to where we're going. But the Lord is saying to us, even if you've been thinking this week, or if you've been thinking these last few months or what have you, you've been thinking, or maybe you have some kind of anxiety about going out, or maybe you have anxiety about where we're going in the future or what the world's going to be. The Lord is saying, do not fear. Do not fear. It's really important, some of the words that he said to Joshua. He said, they will know that as I was with Moses, so shall I be with you. Powerful words. And he's saying the same thing to you. As he was with Moses, so shall he be with you. As he was with Joseph, as he was with Daniel, as he was with Ruth, as he was with Paul or John, or as he was with Abraham or Isaac or Israel, all of these people, as he was, so shall he be with you when we go to cross. And we will cross. And for some of us, we've been waiting for, I don't know what it is. Is it this sign, or whether we're saying, Lord, I'm going to do it, but whatever this thing is that he's laid upon your heart, maybe it's a new venture, maybe it's a coming out of just stepping out in faith in something new or going somewhere. What he is saying to you is, now, I'm telling you, this is now. We are going to cross. Now is the time. Not then, now. If you're waiting for the sign, now is it. It's here. He's waving a flag. Go. We're going to cross. But what we need to do is we need to consider that we should follow where the Spirit is leading. Consecrate our mind, our body, our soul, our thoughts, our talk. And we should step into the Jordan. And we don't leave this message here where you're just stepping into the Jordan. What you'll see is that the people of God, the people they stepped into, and they followed, and the whole of the nation crossed safely. They crossed safely. They didn't lose anybody. They crossed safely, just like when, as he was with Moses, all of the people made it out of captivity and into the future. And so this is what the Lord is saying to you now. As he was with them, he will be with you as we go in and as we cross, and as we take that decision to cross into this newness. While they were crossing, what happened was the priests were commanded to take up some stones, 12 stones, in fact, as they were crossing from the riverbed. And then once all of the people had crossed the Jordan, what happened was they laid these stones down the other side of the bank to act as a memorial, so that when they looked back and they saw the stones, or when anybody came up to these stones, they would remember what God had done and what had happened. But this thing about this memorial thing is a really important place. As I said, God is constantly taking us from here to there, from there to next there, and to we're in his presence. And memorials are there and set up for us to remember great things. You have statues that are out there. You have plaques. You have books. You have references. You have all of these records to remind us of things that have happened in the past. But the important thing about it is that you are supposed to remember, yes, what God has taught you, but you're not supposed to remain in that place. You're not supposed to stay on that bank site and just stay at that place and stay at the place where this is the great time. You know, God has done something. We're not supposed to stay at that memorial place. It is supposed to act as a springboard for us going forward. Now, memorials are interesting things because a lot of us have got memorials that have been set up in our hearts or in our mind or in our memory of things that have happened. And the Lord is telling us now that we have to leave the captivity of that memorial and also press forward and springboard forward. The captivity of that memorial might be something bad. It could be an abuse. It could be a divorce. It could be a broken relationship. It could be pain. It could be hurt. It could be sickness. It could be all of these different things. It could be a loss. Many people have lost people. It could be all of this. And the second thing, it could be a victory. It could be that you've had an amazing experience in the past. It could be the best time that you ever, I don't know, you was earning the best or you was in the best job or you had the best relationship and you had the best, whatever it is. Victory, like crossing the Red Sea with Moses. But they couldn't stay at the other side of the Red Sea. They had to keep moving forward. They couldn't stay at that, just at that victory place. We have to also leave those memorials behind and move forward because that's what they're for. They're there to remind us, but act as a springboard, not as a residence. We have to leave the good. We have to leave the bad. We have to leave it behind now. And we are coming out of a place, people coming out of lockdown, people coming out of an area where or a mindset or a memory. We can all remember what it was like pre-pandemic or pre-lockdown or pre-whatever it was, pre-divorce or pre-job or pre-birth or whatever it was. We can all remember what that was like. But what we must remember is that we do not camp there. We do not camp our hearts and our minds and our soul there. We do not camp everything that we're doing back in that place and hanker back and only think about those areas. It is really, really important that we do not stay in captivity. Just like those freed slaves or those people that were trying to be freed by Harriet Tubman, we shouldn't stay. Sometimes we don't realize that we're in captivity. We don't realize that we're slave to the good things that have happened previously. We don't realize that we are slave to the bad things that have happened to us. Sometimes we don't realize that our mind has been captive and we need to consecrate our mind, lay down these stones, remember what God has taken you through, what God has done for us, and go forward, not camp, not stay there. It is really, really, really important that we do not remain in captivity and we do not remain by the memorials that are sometimes in our heart and in our mind. It's interesting that, you know, as a parent, one of the things that you have to do is you have to prepare your children. You have to prepare your children for a time when you're not there. And I've got friends who have lost, I've got quite a few friends who have lost parents recently or lost people or loved ones. And you know what? What I remind them and what the Lord wants to remind you is that you do not need to stay camped at that site, inverted commas, the good old days when this person was around, when maybe parent was around, or when I was in this relationship or what have you. God is saying to you that the greatest joy and greatest joy of a parent is that when they are gone, that they know that their children are going to be safe and going to go forward. And for those who have lost parents or those types of loved ones, those really close ones, those major mentors to you, the Lord is saying, this is now the time when you spring forward into the glory where you're supposed to be. We have to leave it behind. As painful as it is, we have to leave it behind and we have to go forward. We do not resident, we do not vegetate ourselves at that place. It's now time to step forward and cross the Jordan. I appreciate, though, there's one thing I would say. I appreciate the fact that it's not as easy for everybody to cross. You know, some people that are crossing with infirmity, some people are crossing with loss, some people are crossing with a lot of things that they have to carry, but you will still cross. We will not lose one. He is going to be with you as he was with Moses, as he was with all of these people. He's going to be with you to cross. And it's a powerful thing that we're talking about, going forward, moving on to the new, moving, leaving the past and going into the future. But we have to consider, we have to remember that God wants to take us forward and he's already been there. There are some people in your life that only want to camp back there. They want to live back there in the past. And they want you to stay there with them. But we need to remember that we are not going to stay in captivity. Just like how Harriet Tubman was trying to explain to him, there is freedom over there. There is freedom through there. I have been. And that is where he's taking you, to another level of freedom, another level of accomplishment, another level, another place. He's taking us. He's taking us through. And he's saying to you now, we are going to cross the Jordan. We're not going to wait. We are going to cross the Jordan today. And it's really, really, really important that we obey what he says. We have had a period of time, which we were just talking about, which was Easter. And when we think about Christ, Christ came to change things. He was coming to do away with a number of things and taking us into a new place. In fact, when we commemorated Christ in this Easter period that we've been talking about, we remember the cross. And before that cross, before Christ was crucified, we were in an Old Testament, what is called an old promise, an old way of doing things. And it worked for that time, you know, but the Lord was taking us into this new place now called the New Testament. And even the whole world recognizes and even talks about history, about this important moment when Christ was crucified, which stands as this kind of border between the old and the new. It stands as time. We even talk about it before Christ and after Christ, Anno Domini. We think of things as this marker, as if it was like another Jordan. It was like a crossing that they had to do. It was a cross that he had to go on, that we had to, that we benefited from. And it's amazing how many similarities there are with this story. You know, the Spirit was with him and he went on the cross and he allowed us to cross over because he was there nailed. He was standing in the river for us. He was with the Spirit and he had consecrated himself and he had taken this on and he'd given us pass, is the best way to describe it. And it acts, there's 12 stones and it acts as a memorial place. But God doesn't want us to just stay at the cross. He wants us to move on. He wants us to move forward. He was taking us forward. We don't have to all just go to the cross where Christ was, you know, metaphorically or physically or actually just stay at that place and just be just there. No, God is taking us on and he's taking us into his presence. And there's so many things that happened in the past, all the victories, all the things, the way of doing things. But the people that crucified Christ, they were married to, they were imbibed to, they were unified to the Old Testament. And that hence why they, and the law, everything was about the law. But God was bringing in a new place across the Jordan, across this cross that he was crucified, which was a place called grace. So before, there was this place where it was the law and it was only the chosen people that could partake. And then we crossed over and that has allowed us as well. So people that were Gentiles and Jews and Hebrews, they could, everybody could be come, but there was a crossing point so that everybody could cross over. And that crossing point was the crucifixion of Christ. I appreciate that. But we are at this place now where we have to make a decision about our past and our future. Which way are we going to go? Are we going to hanker back to the past, how the old system, the old way of doing things, the old church, the old school, the old relationship, or the past victory, the past Red Sea, the past, all of these things that have happened in the past, or do we go out into our future? And there's a choice we have to make. And just like when Harriet Tubman was pleading with those the slaves that were in captivity, she was saying, you can be free. God is pleading with us now to make a choice. Which way do you want to go? And the choice is today. The choice is now. Which way do you want to go? Do you want to go back to the old way of doing things, how it was, the comforts, some of the victories, all the great things that have happened? Or do you want to go into the future with where God is taking us, into the in front of us where the Spirit is leading, into the Jordan and crossing the Jordan, where is the future? We have got a choice now, and we're all going to be coming out of this period. But we have to think about, where is the Lord leading us? Where is the Spirit going? And we need to consecrate our minds. And I impress on you that God is taking us into the future, not into the past, not into the way it was before. We will change our minds, our hearts, our thoughts, and we will go into victory unto victory unto victory. I'm not saying that when we cross the Jordan, everything's going to be perfect. If you remember the scripture actually says they crossed the Jordan, and what was next? Jericho. There was a big wall that was there. There was opposition. There was all things. But as we all know about the story of Jericho, Jericho's walls came down. And it's interesting because every time that we come up against opposition, we will face a victory. We can face a victory. God is with us. And as he was with Moses, even these impossible things that we think, I don't know how I'm going to make it through this bit, or I don't know how I'm going to get over that bit, or I don't know how I'm going to get through, as he was with Moses, taking them out of the whole Exodus, taking them out of captivity, taking them through the Red Sea, drowning Pharaoh and all the whole army, so shall he be with you. So shall he be with you. And I recommend to you this morning to make this decision, whether or not we hanker, we go to the past with its good, with its bad, with its everything, with our comforts, or do we go into the future, into an unknown, into a place that we have not gone before, as they were, into some of these things which are new to us. I know that can be unsettling, but we need to make a choice. And I impress on you this morning, make that choice. Make that choice. I want to give you three scriptures to consider. There's a scripture that says in John 8, it says, therefore, if the Son makes you free, you shall be free indeed. And this is talking about our freedom from the captivity of all the things that we're talking about before. And God has got that power to make you free. And that thing that is on your heart, that is on your mind, the Lord will set you free and you shall be free indeed. You do not need to remain in captivity. And when you leave your captivity, the Lord is now saying to you, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not unto your own understanding. In all your ways, submit to him and he will make your path straight. Just like when the priests went forward, they weren't too sure what was going to happen, but they had to just trust in what the Lord was saying about moving into the water and stepping forward in faith. And this is what the Lord is telling us this morning. We need to step forward in faith now, this very moment. And in all your ways, submit it to him and he will make your path straight. He will open the Red Sea. He will open the Jordan. He will make a way for you. And yes, as we go into the unknown and we know that there might be some oppositions and things that might be coming, It says here in Joshua 1:5, it says, no one will be able to stand against you all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will never leave you nor forsake you. What an encouraging scripture. He will never leave you nor forsake you. As he was with Moses and all of these people that we've read, so shall he be with you stepping forward. Stepping forward. Stepping forward. Moving forward. And we have got to make a choice this morning, this very morning, whether or not we go with Joshua, will we go with the Spirit, will we go with the Spirit, or we remain the other side of the bank, or we remain in captivity to these good and bad and all of these things that have happened previously, or we go into the freedom that he's given us, this new level of freedom. This morning, God is doing a new thing, and he's going to take you forward. So I'm going to pray this morning for all of us. And I'm going to say, Lord, we commit to you our lives. We commit to you this decision. We commit to you our future. We commit to you where we are at this time. Lord, and we thank you that you have made us a house of your tabernacle, a house of your Holy Spirit. And we know that, Lord, you have been speaking to many of us about this Jordan that we need to cross, this place that we need to do, this thing that you're telling us or leading us. We know that your Spirit has been leading us and talking to us. And Lord, we give you our hearts and our wills and our minds. We consecrate our speech, our mind, our body, our hearts to you to listen to where your Spirit is leading us. And I know that for other people, it might be leading them in different places, but where you are leading us, where you are taking us, where you are impressing us, we will step forward this moment into the river. We will make plans. We will make decisions. We will move. We will not stay on that same bank, in that same place, in captivity. We will move forward. And Lord, we choose now to remember, yes, we lay down these stones. We lay down the 12 stones that we have carried and we've picked up along the journey. We remember now what you have done and what you have brought us through. We will remember all of the victories that you have brought us through, how powerful you have been, all the provision, all the healing, all the words, all the direction, all the encouragement, all of these things. We remember those. We remember those. But we do not camp in this place of remembrance. We move and we use it as a springboard to go forward, and we move and we cross. We cross over into Jordan. Lord, I thank you because you are guiding us. You are telling us exactly what is supposed to happen. You are speaking to our spirit. You are telling us when to cross, where to cross. And Lord, we now leave behind this old mindset, the language, the insecurities. We leave away the fear. We leave victory. We leave past losses, past wins. We leave fear. We leave that place of awaiting this permission because we know that you're telling us to cross now. We leave now this thing, this fear of acceptance. We leave this low self-esteem. We leave all of those things, Lord. We leave all of those and we step forward and we remember. And remember, we remember the scripture that you have given us. It says, Lord, that who the Son has set free shall be free indeed. And even at this very moment, I declare that those who are leaving, they shall leave captivity for good. They will not return back. They will not return back to captivity. They will not return back. They shall be made free and free indeed. They shall be made free and free indeed. They, even if it is a case of sickness, they shall be made free. If it's a case where they need deliverance, where they're being spiritually oppressed, they shall be made free indeed at this very moment because the Son has made them free from their captivity and you shall remain free. And Lord, as we go forward, we are going to trust you with all our heart and we're going to lean not unto our own understanding. We are going to submit our ways, our minds, our consecration, our everything to you. And we're going to see forward where you will make the ways straight. make the paths straight. Even if they don't look straight now, even if it looks like everything is overflowing, as soon as we step in, as at this moment, the rivers further down the stream at that place, Adam, which could represent the second Adam with our Christ, at that place, it will dry up. And we thank you, Lord, that no one will be able to stand against us when you are with us all the days of our life, because we know that you are with us as you was with Moses. You are no respecter of person. You are an amazing God. You are with all of us. You're not with just with the special preacher. You're not just with the special holy man. You're not just with the perfect Christian or the perfect man. You are with us, in all of us, with our flaws, with our worries, with all of these things. You are with us and you will be with us. And you said, and we take hold on the fact that you said you will never leave or forsake us. And we take hold of that and that promise. And for anybody who is in this or hearing this message, no matter where you've heard it before, you could be listening online another time in the future, you could be listening, somebody could send it to you. If you're at that place now and you are considering what to do, and you can hear the Lord is tugging you and hear the Lord and the Spirit is calling you, we are telling you to come in and step into the river, step into this new life and step forward. If you do not know Christ, we're going to say a prayer of salvation with you. And you can step forward into this new promise. It says, Father God, I repent of all my sins. That means I turn around, I leave them back behind in that place before. And I confess with my mouth that Jesus is Lord. And I believe that you raised him from the dead. We thank you for your forgiveness. We thank you for saving me and making me a member of your family. And we pray this in Jesus' name. And I pray this in Jesus' name. And I pray, Lord, for anybody that says that prayer, anybody that makes that decision to leave all of that behind and move forward, that you, Lord, will be with them as you was with Moses and Daniel and Joseph and all of these great people and Paul and all of these people, and you will be with them, but your word will be with them and your Spirit will be that tabernacle that will lead them, and that your Spirit will guide them and make their ways straight. We commit it to you, Lord. We take this time now to move forward with you as we step out in faith, in power, and in your Spirit. In Jesus' name.
Thank you for listening to the message today. We hope it blessed you. And if it did, please like, comment, and subscribe for more videos from Micah. And don't forget to click the notification bell to see when they're uploaded. Thank you for joining us today. We'll see you in the next.